So excited that you are here this morning. I hope that you are excited about the day and what the Lord is going to do in this moment, in this time. You're ready to hear from Him. You're ready to speak to Him in worship. You're ready to hear from the Word of God. We have a good friend with us this morning. Josh Ellis is joining us this morning. And so we're excited that he is here. But we're going to listen to a little bit of something from the guy that's supposed to be here that's not. Let's hear from Will.
Good morning, ABC. I'm here with Andrew Nelson and Aaron Glenn.
We're here on our first stop of a three-country tour of Southeast Asia.
We're just going to Southeast Asia, meeting with our workers over here, and just looking at the work that they're doing. I want to ask you, as a congregation, to be praying for the work that they're doing. And know that we're praying for you this morning as you meet together, praying for Josh as he preaches, and just praying that you have a blessed Lord's Day.
There's a lot of knees in that video. It's kind of scaring me. So we're excited that they're going to be able to connect with some of our partners overseas and connect and see how UBC will have connection with you and those people and the people in those regions in the coming months, weeks to months to years. And so we pray that God opens those doors for them as they travel and speak in those times. So I hope that you are, if you're a guest with us, I hope you have a bulletin with you. You can grab those right at the front. If you are, we would love to get to know you a little bit better. If you are willing, on the front of your bulletin, there's a little QR code or there is a phone number. If you'll just text guest to that, we'd love to hear from you. We're not going to send Bart over there for dinner unless you invite him. We might. We would love to hear from you. So if you do that, that'd be great. The bulletin has a ton of information of events and things going on. One of those things I want to let you know about is we're selling some UBC polos. Get online and buy them because I need y'all all to buy one. They're helping our students as we go to camp and as we go to mission trip. It's a little bit of a fundraiser. Just a small amount will go back into our mission giving in those events. So we'd love for you to be a part of all of those things. If you have any questions right outside these doors and go into our fellowship hall, you'll see three white top tables and we'll have a staff member there. If you have any questions about small groups, about events, about things going in the life of the church, we'd love to answer those for you there as well. And if you are a first-time guest with us, run over there. We have a little gift bag for you. It's got some special stuff in it that we think you may enjoy for the day. We are so glad that you're here. We're so glad that you're going to be a part of the worship and the life of UBC, and it is an amazing day. Y'all can all, what are we doing, Bart? Y'all stay seated.
Thank you. For those who are able, please remain standing for the reading of God's word. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, plant gardens, eat their produce, take wives and have sons and daughters, take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters, multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare you will find your welfare. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
And you may be seated. Graceful and merciful Father, we gather before you this morning. We thank you for who you are. We bring our joys to you. We bring our hurts to you. We bring our concerns before you, knowing that you care for every detail of our lives. God, we thank you for how you have sustained us this past week, and we felt your standing for us on our daily journeys, and we've seen you in the beauties of your creation. We've seen the wildflowers along the roadsides and the brilliant yellow blooms of the prickly pears, and Lord, you're indeed an amazing God. Thank you for showing us hope when all hope seems gone. And Lord, forgive us for our arrogance and our pettiness and our lack of understanding to others. Forgive us when we have turned away from friends and others in their distress. And forgive us of our actions that go against your will with our language and our thoughts. God, help us to trust you more. God, give us the strength to share your love and mercy with others as we've seen our sister Dorothy this morning. We thank you for Dorothy and the Dorothys in this world that share your goodness with others. Give us joy for the work that you've called us, each one of us, to do. Give us joy to carry out the work that you've called us to do. And open our hearts today, Lord. Stir our hearts today, Lord. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus, who gave his life and rose again. Amen.
watch this verse, okay? Just so you know.
Would you please pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, all things come from you, O God, and with gratitude we return to you what is yours. You created all that is, and with love formed us in your image. When our love failed, your love remained steadfast. All that you gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. All that we are and all that we have is a trust from you. And so, in gratitude for all your gifts, we offer you ourselves and all that we have in union with Christ, offering for us. By your Holy Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world through Jesus Christ, our Savior. In the name of your Son, amen.
Great is thy Good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Well, that's pretty good. That was a good answer. All right. That wasn't just the normal, okay, we're doing all right. I'm so glad to be here this morning. I'm glad to cover for Will while he's gallivanting around the world. Wish I could do that. Although he's in a very hot and humid place. If I was going to gallivant around the world, I'd pick somewhere with mountains and four seasons. He's in a place very similar to Houston that has two seasons, hot and very hot. That's just me. I'll tell you a little bit more about that a little bit later. We're going to continue with the For the World series. I'm going to do a little derivative of that. I don't know if you're... Sometimes when I go to places, people are very happy that I'm going to continue the series the pastor was doing, and a lot of times... people are like, oh, we're kind of sick of that. We would never say that when the pastor's here. But, you know, hoping for a change of pace. I don't know where you're at on that. Hopefully he's not watching right now. It's kind of late where he is. So maybe he didn't see you all laugh when I said that. I don't know. I'm going to start with, this is a little tear that I'm on lately. I'm going to start with why we're hearing the message today, and hopefully I answer this question by the end of the sermon, and if I don't, there will be one or two of you that come up at the end of the service and say, nope, you didn't quite answer the question there. Try again in the late service, and I will endeavor to do that. But here's kind of the thesis statement for those of you who are so inclined to know what a thesis statement is. So why are we hearing the message today? Because our welfare, our personal peace, is tied in an intimate way to the peace of the place that we live. God's word says so. It's not me. We heard a guy read the passage from Jeremiah that says this is the case. And the church, by extension, and you heard Pastor Will talk about this in the last several weeks, the church, by extension, has been deployed by God to deliver that peace. So that's why we're talking about that today. Now, why am I here? Some of you are like, who is this guy? I work for you. Now, you didn't know that, but I actually do work for you because I work for the Union Baptist Association. I'm the executive director of UBA, and UBA is a network of churches, and it is supported by you, and we are very grateful for that support. And you have been a faithful supporter of UBA for a long time. And it's not just the finances that we appreciate, though I do enjoy eating three meals a day, and so I am grateful for that support. But UBA is an association of churches. It's the oldest one in Texas. We were started in 1840. And if you're thinking that goes back almost to when the state of Texas was started, you would be right. It was started by the same people who started the state of Texas. So the guy who was named Judge Baylor actually signed the first declaration of the UBA. So we have some pretty famous lineage. But we were put together as an association because the core conviction of our association is that we can do more together than we can apart. Amen. Churches were designed to work together. I don't know if you knew that or not. But the kingdom of God was designed like the body of Christ. And so that metaphor that we find in Scripture about the body needs the various parts. You know, we can't just have a knee and expect to function as a fully functional body of Christ. The churches of the body of Christ are designed to work together. And so my organization, the UBA, is your organization. And so what we do is we try and bring churches together to impact the whole city with the whole gospel of Jesus Christ. And so what we do is we train churches, we equip churches, we come alongside churches and try and help them do what they're doing better. We try and be the people that answer the random questions. I can't tell you how many churches I've worked with in the last couple of years that have been in the middle of pastor searches, who have been working on their bylaws. I get the random questions. I also get the fun questions. You know, 82% of the growth in the greater Houston area of the last 5 years has been Hispanic. And so about a quarter of the association are Hispanic churches, and we have more than 100 Hispanic leaders every year that are being trained in how to grow healthy churches, how to make disciples that make other disciples and plant churches among Hispanics. And you enable us to do all of that. And not just through your finances, but through your actual participation. Pastor Will is a member of the Association Leadership Council, which is our board. And so, again, I say thank you. And again, I say I work for you. So if you need to get a hold of me, you can do that through Bart, okay? So you can send all those requests through Bart. Now, I didn't want to work for you. Now, when I got into college, I was there on an Army ROTC scholarship. I wanted to jump out of airplanes for a living, and then after that, I wanted to go to law school and make real money, okay? And in college, I met a girl who was very cute and very energetic and very into the Word. Now, I grew up a Christian. I became a Christian when I was seven, and so I knew all the answers. I grew up in church. I grew up in a Presbyterian church, so I can out him most of you in here, not Bart, but most of you. And so I grew up knowing all the answers, but when I got to college and I met this girl and I met her friends, they were like really into church. Hallelujah. There it is. they said stuff like that. Now, we don't do that in the Presbyterian church. Like that, those people get escorted out. There's something really special going on in their life. You know? I mean, and we praise God for it. We just don't do it out loud very often. And so, I appreciate that. So, what happened when I got to college, I was like, man, if I'm going to hang out with this really cute girl and her friends, I'm going to have to get back in the Word, and I'm going to have to start listening for God speaking into my life. And that was a huge mistake. Because as soon as I did that, God really started speaking when I asked Him to. And God started saying, hey, listen, I've been your Savior for a long time, but if I'm going to be your Lord, then some things have got to change. And I was like, are you sure? Because my plan for college is paying for college. And if you're going to ask me to, like, turn things over to you, I'm going to need some financial guarantees here. Like, the government's paying for my college. And He said, Josh, if I'm going to be Lord of your life, then you've got to trust me to actually be Lord of your life. You have to surrender to me. And so when I surrendered to Him, He said, I want you to go into vocational ministry. And I had no concept of what that meant. And when I surrendered to Him, I was sent here to Houston, Texas. Now, I was born and raised in Colorado. And to be sent to Houston, Texas in June, you know what I'm talking about. You know, that I was pretty sure I was being punished for something. But to make a very long story very short, there was a purpose in me being sent here. There was a place that was being tied to that purpose, and there was a time being tied to that purpose and that place, and we're going to talk about that today because the passage that we read in Jeremiah is very similar to that, in that God's people were being transplanted. They were being sent into exile. This is God's chosen people. This is the tribe of Judah. This is where we get the word Jew from. And God said, I am picking you up out of the promised land and taking you away from where Jerusalem is and taking you away from where the temple is. And I am allowing people to have victory over you, and I am putting you in captivity away from all these things that you have put your identity in. And not only that, but I am putting you there for an extended period of time. So let me give you the context of these verses. This comes out of Jeremiah, and this is chapter 29, verse 1. It says, these are the words of the letter of Jeremiah the prophet, sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders of the exiles and to the priests, the prophets, and the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. See, they were taken into exile three total times. The first time, it was just the really, really smart people, the cream of the crop. This is Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the people that had skills, right? The people that Babylon could use to administrate and to use in a way that they could effectively rule over all the land. And so they just took, kind of they skimmed off the top. Well, the second time, they took prophets, they took the royalty. This is where Jeremiah is writing here. And this is, and Ezekiel, the prophet, was taken in that exile. And then the third time, the final, was in 597 BC. And that's when the temple was destroyed. That's when everything was done. Sorry, 587 BC. And so everything was really destroyed. And in this passage that we're reading, this is the second exile. And again, it says, starting in verse 4, the Lord says... So don't be confused about how you're getting into exile. The Lord is saying, I'm carrying you into exile. Verse 4 says, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat their produce, take wives and have sons and daughters, take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters, multiply there and do not decrease, but seek the welfare. And those of you who know your Hebrew know that that word welfare is the word peace. It's also the word shalom. Seek the peace of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. It's saying to the exiled Jews, put down roots, plan on being there for a while, work toward the benefit of your captors. Because if they benefit, if they experience peace, you will experience peace. And the converse is true also. If they do not experience peace, you will not experience peace. Now imagine, put yourself in their position. They are not going to take this news well, right? They're being captured. They're being carried off. They're being forcibly removed. And God is saying, put down roots. Work toward their benefit. Pray for them. There is a purpose in your exile. And this is not going to last for just one generation. God goes on in verse 8, and he says, for thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are among you deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams that they dream, for it is a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, declares the Lord. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for peace and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. There's where we find the coffee cup verse that we're all familiar with, right? There's Jeremiah 29:11. But that's the context of the coffee cup verse. That's the context of the verse that we all have on walls. Why is it stuck there in the middle of the exile? God continues and he says, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me and I will hear you after the 70 years are complete for Babylon. After you seek the peace of the city where I have sent you into exile, then I will be found by you, he says in verse 14. And I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you. I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. Now listen, in the case of the tribe of Judah, the last remnant of God's people there in the promised land, this is a legitimate punishment. God's people had wandered so far away from God that God, in his divine mercy and in his love for his people, says, I have got to get your attention. I have got to bring you back. And I have got to discipline you. But in this punishment, and it is a punishment, but there is also a purpose in there. There is also a redemption in there. God says in his word, both Old Testament and New Testament, he opposes the proud. In his loving discipline, he will discipline his children, but he never, ever, ever abandons us in that discipline. He has a purpose in the exile, a set time for its duration, and a place for it to happen. So let's talk about those three things: purpose, time, and place. Let's start with place. I ask God often, why here? Why this place? Why does it have to be this place with two seasons? I grew up in a place with four seasons. Here you have hot and it rains and they play Christmas music. You know what I'm talking about, right? It's just hot. You have 2 weeks in the spring and 2 weeks in the fall where this is a great place to live. I mean, like, borderline fantastic place to live. Now, there are some upsides. Occasionally you can play golf on December 26th. I won't deny that. But you also know that it rains in December, and that's when we cue up the Christmas music. In Colorado, it snows. Here, the Christmas music doesn't make any sense, right? We talk about sleigh bells. We just got to make that stuff up, right? I mean, we talk about snow, and we also live for that Christmas miracle. Who was here Christmas Eve a few years ago when it snowed, right? Raise your hand. Yeah. Who was out in the street taking pictures of that Christmas Eve miracle? Absolutely. Yeah, I had very small kids at the time. We absolutely got our kids out of bed and were dancing in the street along with our neighbors. Now, in Colorado, we shared those pictures with our family in Colorado, and it was like we lived along a street full of lunatics. It's just a Texas thing, right? You just got to deal with it, you know? Much like February 14th when the entire state froze over. And my Colorado family just did not understand that. So I do have questions regarding this place that God has sent me, okay? It's okay. It's okay. We're all in this together, right? And so I'm sure that God's people had questions about this place that they were being sent. I'm sure. But here's God saying to his people, do good. Not just do good, but also pray for them. And this is what sets this passage amongst itself. It's so unique in ancient literature because God's people are being told, pray for your captors. You're not going to find this in Egyptian literature. You're not going to find this in Greek literature. You're not going to find this anywhere else. And they are being told, pray for them. They're also being told, this is not your permanent home. Hallelujah. We're not in our permanent home, right? We are temporary residents. But we're also told, make the best of it, right? Put down roots. Improve this place. Seek the welfare of the place where you're at. So we are to both do good works and pray for the place that we're at. Now, we don't want to take our eye off the ball. The mission of the church is to glorify God and make disciples, right? We know that that's the mission of the church. But we're also, when we pray for the city, we're also supposed to remember that the city is not a monolithic place, right? The city of Houston does not look like Clear Lake, right? The city of Houston, in fact, the greater Houston area is a massive place. 10,000 square miles if you include the water, 8,800 square miles, just land. That's the greater Houston area. The greater Houston area grows by 2,400 people a week. 2,400 people a week. Only Dallas-Fort Worth, and I hate giving Dallas credit for anything as much as anybody, right? I mean, I'm not from here, but I've adapted that, okay? I've been here since 1996. I have learned some things, right? We don't give Dallas credit for anything. But I'm sorry if you're from Dallas. That's just the way it is down here, okay? Only Dallas-Fort Worth grew more than we did last year, okay? Only New York City has more foreign-born people than we do. And did you know that you live right here, that you live within a 15-minute drive of the second largest concentration of Houston's most unreached people group? Did you know that Houston has the largest medical center in the world and that it is an epicenter of people coming here for treatments of all kinds of different medical situations? And because of that, we have people asking life and death questions every day. Did you know that Houston is also the crossroads of major highways, which makes us an epicenter for human trafficking? Did you know that Houston, in most recent data, has one of the highest rates of STD sufferers of any city in the United States? It's not just, you know, positive growth and positive things here in our city. We have all these other situations in our city as well. This is the place that we are supposed to be seeking the peace. This is the place that we have been called to be stewards. So given all of that, there seems to be a sense of urgency here, right? So let's talk about time. When God commands Judah to build houses and to marry their children, it seems to be that there is a sense of urgency there. And in exile, God was providing what they needed to be a people of peace right then and there. And it also seems, if you do a survey of the Bible, that God was working his plan of redemption through Babylon. I mean, God knew what he was doing from day one, and so he knew he was going to involve Babylon from day one. God had to work his people through that time of exile. Now, sometimes we're going to feel like we're in exile. Sometimes it's going to feel like we have been removed from God's blessing, from God's presence. And surely God's people felt like that Because God's people relied on three things. They relied on the land. And you've heard Pastor Will talk about this over the previous weeks. God promised this land to them. This was the same land that Moses took them to the border. This was the same land that Joshua conquered. This was the same land that David expanded. This was the same land that they built up. This was the same land that Solomon built the temple on. This was the same land that they guarded year after year after year. This was the same land that they invested in time after time after time. And then God said, I am removing you from that place. He also removed them from the monarchy. In the second exile, God made a point for Babylon to carry off the royal family. And they had chosen, God's people, against God's wishes, they had chosen to have a monarchy. God said, I want to be your king. And they said, well, we want to be like all the other cool kids. We want a king of our own. So they chose Saul. And then they chose king after king. And God said, I will establish that throne. I will establish it through the line of David, which he continues to do through the exile. But the king and the monarchy and the royal family were transplanted out through the exile. And so he takes away the land, he takes away the royal family, and he takes away the temple. He takes away the house of God. He takes away the place where he says, that will be where my presence is. And so if you have ever felt abandoned, if you have ever felt like you've been removed from God's presence, imagine how they felt. Place is important. But if you have ever felt like God has just removed you from his presence, you have to come back to the truth. You have to come back to the fact that God is a loving God. And that even in the exile, God says, this is not permanent. This is for ultimately your good. And you can't miss the fact that this is for the good of the Babylonians too. There is a time here where the Babylonians will be blessed because of the presence of God's people there. And so there is a time for all of us where we have to resort to the truth. You know, I have two boys. I have a teenage boy, a 13-year-old. And 13 is no fun for anybody, right? Anybody, you know, the question is sometimes asked, you know, would you go back in time and do it all over again? And I always stop people and say, no way, because that means I have to go back to being in junior high again. That you couldn't pay me enough money to go back to being in junior high again. And my 13-year-old is the living embodiment of the reason why, right? Because there's just so much swirling around, right? It's almost not fair. And sometimes when, you know, emotions are up and situations are up, I just have to say, okay, what do we know to be true? And the same is true for us as followers of Jesus. Sometimes when life is just coming at us full blast, we just have to stop and take a breath and say, what do we know to be true? God loves us. God loves us. That we know to be true. And then you start processing the rest of the situation. And when you stop and ask God, okay, God, I know that you love me. What else do I need to know about this situation? He will answer. He will answer. So now let's talk about purpose very briefly. Because next week, I know this is real joy for you. You're going to see me again, and we're going to talk about, this week we're talking about a church deployed. Next week we're going to talk about a people deployed. And what does it mean to be a people deployed on mission? What does it mean for that individual answer? But in the church's case, we've talked about place, we've talked about time. What does it mean to be a church on purpose? You know, the last command that Jesus gave his disciples, we know it by heart, but when you put it in the context of this, you know, that Matthew 28, 18 through 20, when Jesus says to his disciples, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. You know, all nations right there. That in the Greek is that panta ta ethne. That was Jesus saying all ethne, all people. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. To break that down basically says, go and make disciples of all nations. To make disciples is to teach somebody what you know. To teach somebody what you know. To teach somebody what you are yourself obeying. That is the discipleship process. The whole redemption story of the Bible is God bringing his people back and saying, this then is how you should live. I am God. I am your creator. And if you want the best life that you can possibly live, let me show you how to live. And then you go and show somebody else. Because that is how you achieve wholeness and peace and rest. And that is what he told his people to go and show to the Babylonians and to pray for the Babylonians. Go and deliver peace. If we're going to be a church deployed to give peace, then we need to know how to experience that peace for ourselves. So what does a church deployed on that mission look like? First of all, it means that we have to be a people of peace. We have to experience that peace for ourselves. The second thing a church deployed looks like is we have to remember that the church itself is an organizing mechanism, right? The church itself is not an end. It is a tool to be used in the deploying of that peace. I can't tell you, when I was a youth minister, I encountered this all the time. I can't tell you how many kids said, well, I go to church, as if that was the end goal. And I said, that's great that you're here, but are you taking what you learn at church back into school, back into your home life, back into the various places that you go, back into the teams that you practice with? Because church is not the end goal. Church is the place that you come to get fueled up. It's the gas station on the highway. It's the hospital where you get patched up. But then you got to get back out there. This is the huddle. You know, if you're into team sports, this is where you get the play, and then you go execute the play, and then you come back in, you get a new play, and then you go execute the play. If this is where you come as if this is the final destination, we have missed it because you're not a church deployed. This is the holy huddle where you're hiding from the rest of the world. You're hiding from the mission field. This is not it. This is where we just come together to slap each other on the back, to hug each other, to help each other, and then to say, get back out there. And if we don't do that, we can't possibly execute the last command that Jesus ever gave us, which is to go. Which is to go. So a deployed church is when disciples are moving in unison, when we are acting like a team, when we are focused on mission, when we are being good stewards of the place and the time and the purpose that we have. So as we finish today, the first question is, if you have not experienced that peace, if you don't know this Jesus that I'm talking about, then you can today. Because God, your creator, designed you to have relationship with him. He designed you to be in fellowship with him. You were not designed to create your own joy, your own peace, your own happiness. He made that for you. And so you trying to do all of that on your own behalf is just going to be you running in circles. And so the thing in your life that keeps getting in the way is what we call sin. The things that are going wrong in your life, the choices that you're making that are against his will, we call that sin. And Jesus died on the cross to forgive you of all of those sins and to take the burden off of you. And he gives you that gift freely. And he says, all you need to do is believe that that gift was given to you, receive that freely, and choose to follow him. And so if you want to do that today, you can do that. I'm going to pray for you in just a minute, and you just say, I want to believe in that. And then just start asking questions, because when you are a disciple of Jesus, that's a fancy church word meaning learner. And if you're already a disciple today, then you need to be on mission. If you're a learner, it means you learn something, you practice it, then you learn something else, and you practice it some more. And if we're going to be believers today, if we're going to be good stewards of the place, the time, and the purpose that we have, then let's do that, and let's be the deployed church, and let's be the thing that deploys the peace to the city because our peace is tied intimately to the peace of our city. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We need you. And Lord, we want to glorify you today. Lord, we want to please you and honor you. And Father, this morning, there are those who don't know you, but want to. There are those who are asking questions about you. And Lord, I pray for those who are curious about you this morning. Lord, I pray that you would speak to their hearts this morning. Lord, if there are those within the sound of my voice, whether watching or here in the building, that would just say, Lord, I want to believe. I need you in my life. I'm tired of running in circles and trying to do all these things by myself. Lord, hear their prayers. Grant their requests. Lord, I know that you do, and I know that it brings you joy to answer those prayers. Lord, for those of us who already believe, Lord, put strength to our faith. Lord, give us a sense of purpose in this place and in this time. We know you have put us here specifically because our peace is tied to the peace of this city. Lord, we ask that you would move in a mighty way. We ask your blessing on this church. We ask your blessing on us as we endeavor to be a church that is deployed on mission. And we ask this in your holy name. Amen.
Hope you guys are doing well this morning. I'm on red. Hope you guys are doing well this morning. Thanks for the encouraging words, Josh. It's such a good reminder for us as a church to be on mission. Everywhere we go, our spheres of influence, the place that God has put us, to be able to be his hands and his feet, his spirit, walking among your neighborhoods and all of those different things. So it's a challenge for us to be thinking about that, living on mission. We have all kinds of stuff happening in the life of UBC. We had great worship this morning. It all started with our women's conference this weekend. It was a great, great time. Got to see God do a lot there as well. And I know he has been in your hearts this morning. So lots of things in the bulletin to keep in mind, things that are happening in the church. Looking ahead, we have VBS. We still need lots of volunteers, people to sign up. So there's some tables in the fellowship hall if you want to make your way out there. And then this guy right here. I know we all appreciate him very much. He is going to be going on sabbatical soon. So there is a love offering that's being taken up for Bart. So if you want to give to that, contribute to that, please do. If you want to do that online, you can just put Bart Morrison as well. But it's been a great day to worship. We appreciate you, man. We're excited for you as you're about to go on sabbatical. Let's worship.